Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Cass Holloway, Commissioner of the New York City Department of Environmental Protection. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Brian Lewis. Cass, you've mentioned throughout our conversation the proposed 12.9% water rate increase for fiscal year 2012. I know you've been around the city and trying to drum up support and justification for it. What have you done to enact any sort of benefits or assistance to folks because of this increase?
One of the programs, well, in his State of the City address, Mayor Bloomberg said that New York City was going to have the most ambitious program to help people try to avoid mortgage foreclosure. And so one of the things that we did to help that effort is created the Water Debt Assistance Program. And under the Water Debt Assistance Program, you basically, if you're in a situation where you feel like you have to meet certain criteria, but if you are in kind of imminent danger of being in a financial situation where you could possibly have your house foreclosed, we don't want people to be in the decision in a position of either paying their water bill or losing their home. So we set up a program where you're able to set that debt aside. It stays with the property, so it's not a forgiveness program. But then you enter a payment plan, and as long as you keep current, then you can either deal with that outstanding debt when you do a transfer, because it all has to be resolved if the house or the property gets sold. Or you can come back and we can work on it together after you get back on your feet. Another way that we more generally have enabled to try to help with this is we've offered a 2% discount. In the initial proposal, it was 1%, and we were able to double it as a result of really some of the feedback I heard at the water rate hearings, where I presented the proposal and explained to people the basis for what the water rate was going to be. And if you sign up for our direct debit program online, you get a 2% discount on your water bill for this year. And we wanted to do that first to try to drive people to our website and to pay electronically. If you sign up for direct debit, I don't know about you, I pay a lot of my bills online and I like not having to think about it. So it's easy, and that is one of the reasons why we were able to we wanted to put that in place and see, and we'll see how it works. I mean, I think the mayor and Deputy Mayor Goldsmith are really fans of help using technology to help people make their lives easier, make better decisions.
Collections and enforcement are integral to your department's operations. It is important to ensure that people who can afford to pay their bills actually pay. Would you tell us more about the innovative tools such as a water lien sale authority you're using to ensure revenue collection in a timely manner?
Absolutely. This is a critically important area because people, you said it yourself, if our goal is to ensure that people who can afford to pay for water actually pay. Because if they don't, that means that's more that everybody else who is a good and paying customer has to pay either through raised rates in the subsequent year, and we want to try to avoid that. So what are the tools we have available? Well, traditionally, they had been pretty weak. Back in 2007, though, the mayor and the city council, Speaker Quinn, worked with us to give us lien sale authority for 2- and 3-family homes. So if you have debt that is 365 days or more old and more than $1,000, then you could be eligible to have that debt sold in a lien sale. And we found that just having that mechanism available, the vast majority of people either come in and pay their bill well before that sale takes place, or they enter a payment plan with us, and that way they have acknowledged their debt and they're working with us to deal with the problem. I think if you ask city council members, elected officials, and even our customers, they would give our customer service organization pretty high marks because we try to deal with people on a case-by-case basis and take everyone's circumstances into account. We want people to be able to pay, but we also want you, like through programs like the Water Debt Assistance Program, to be able to make decisions that are going to optimize your ability to keep your house and keep the water flowing. So that's a tool. Now, interestingly, the lien sale authority expires as of this year, so we're working with the council now to continue to make sure that that continues, and we would even like to see it strengthened because the bottom line is it really is important for people who can afford to pay.
Who does the water lien sale apply to?
2 and 3 family homes. And the criteria are you have to have debt that's been outstanding for a year or more, and it has to be $1,000 or more. And for single family homes, we don't have lien sale authority. We have water termination authority, which has existed for a long time. That is obviously a very powerful tool to be able to say to somebody, if you don't pay your bill, we're going to turn your water off. The reality is that it would be much more cost effective, and we would even be able to have a lot more crews on the ground dealing with catch basins and state of good repair issues than going out and going into the street and turning off people's water if we were able to get that lien sale authority extended to single family homes. So one of my goals is to work with the city council to do that, because shutting people's water off is not something we want to do. It's not something we like doing. And it also – it costs about $3,000 a home to do. So you end up spending a tremendous amount for very little return, and you also do something that's extremely disruptive to a family.
It actually is interesting to me, because that tack that you're taking sort of dovetails with the other tack you did with Jamaica Bay. It's the idea of let's be smarter about what we're doing here and pursuing this sort of direction.
Well, I think that is right. What we're trying to do is show people the numbers. Look at this with me. I don't think this makes any sense. Do you? Here's a proposal that we think makes more sense. Can we work together to get there? And I think one of the concerns with lien sale authority or any authority that potentially puts you in a situation that could lead to foreclosure or anything like that is making sure that for the most vulnerable, you have programs available and assistance that you can provide. Things like the Water Debt Assistance Program do that. And I think if we're able to really deal with those issues so that people who can afford to pay, and those who need us to work with them, that we have mechanisms available and exceptions to do that.
You had mentioned the comprehensive sustainability plan for New York City that the mayor put out in 2007, and it outlines how the city is going to be greener and its operations more efficient. Would you elaborate on your department's efforts in making the city greener? What are you doing to be more sustainable?
First, Plan YC, which is the mayor's sustainable blueprint for sustainable New York City, sets these 127 goals for 2030. And right now we're in the middle of updating that plan. The city is in the middle of updating that plan. But I wanted to bring some experience into the agency, because I think from my experience, this really goes back to the Parks Department and then going to City Hall, and now I'm at another agency, that if you're not in the agency, working with the agency management managers and having an ability to shape how operating and capital money is getting spent, then you're never going to really truly penetrate and make sure that things like sustainable construction practices or green infrastructure, for example, become a part of the way that the agency does business. Now, DEP is ahead of the curve on sustainable methods of dealing with things like stormwater. Probably one of our biggest water quality issues that the city has to deal with over the next 20 years is stormwater management. Because we have a world-class sewer system, on a dry day, the city's 14 wastewater treatment plants can handle 100% of the city's flow. Now, that wasn't the case 100 years ago, but where it went, and then there was a time when all of wastewater used to just go into the surrounding waters, and before that it was even worse than that. But now we have these 14 wastewater treatment plants, and on a dry day, it all gets treated. When it rains, if it rains a lot, you can have what are called combined sewer overflows, and we want to – the ultimate goal is to stop those. Now, there are two ways to do that. You can either funnel all of your stormwater to one of your wastewater treatment plants, or you can try to capture stormwater at the source. And for many years, decades, the approach has been to build what in modern parlance is called gray infrastructure, the big tanks that you put underground and cost a tremendous amount of money. Nobody ever sees them. And we've done a lot of that. But at a certain point, New York City is so dense that it's not cost effective to do that. So one of the things that I've asked Carter Strickland, our new Deputy Commissioner for Sustainability, to look at is how can New York City start to bring into the mix a more aggressive green infrastructure approach, which basically says, how do we capture stormwater at the source, either whether it's at buildings or in the street, and can we do that with infrastructure that is also going to have an ancillary public benefit, trees, parks, open space? Going back again to my parks days, back in 1996, we started the Green Streets program, and our goal was to have 2,000 green streets by 2001. I'm not sure if they hit that goal, but green streets are now as active as ever, and we're adding the elements to that infrastructure to be able to deal with stormwater over the long term. So this is a really exciting area. What it's going to take for it to be successful is an open-mindedness on the part of our regulators and the EPA and the State Department of Environmental Conservation to work with us because we think we can capture more, do a better job overall for water quality by taking a blended approach that does some of that classic gray infrastructure but blends in green. So we'll see what happens, but that's a top priority for the agency.
Cass, in the midst of the deep water oil rig catastrophe off the Gulf Coast, there has been interest in exploring natural gas drilling in New York watersheds. Would you tell us more about the findings from recent studies of this issue? What are some of the potential impacts of gas drilling to the watersheds? And to what extent is the current technology somewhat wanting?
Well, we've studied this issue closely. And so just to put the issue in context, there is a deposit known as the Marcellus Shale, which really covers a large part of the northeast of the United States. And through the development over time of technology and drilling methods, it's possible now to get into this rock deposit and to free up natural gas. Natural gas is a good thing. Natural gas supply is cleaner energy than and so as a general matter, we're in favor of natural gas. But the question is, how do you get it and where do you get it? And we studied this question because the State Department of Environmental Conservation put out an environmental impact statement because it's looking to establish rules in this area. And our research shows that the level of industrial activity that would be required to exploit this resource is such that it would really jeopardize New York City's water quality over the long term. And since we have right now, we're in a very unique situation. New York City does not have to filter the majority of its drinking water. The reason for that is because our source waters are so pristine. Now, the key to keeping them that way and what we are required to do is demonstrate a sufficient amount of control over watershed lands. And we do that by purchasing watershed property. We've spent over $1.5 billion, a lot of it under Mayor Bloomberg's tenure, to purchase watershed land and enter programs and partnerships with communities upstate. But when this proposal for drilling came out, we hired an independent expert because the mayor likes to do things based on data, not just that doesn't sound like a good idea, even though intuitively that's, the reaction that a lot of people had. A study came back and said, look, for every acre of Marcellus Shale that you're going to try to drill, you're going to have thousands of truck trips. You have to set up these well pads. You have fracking fluid that's proprietary chemicals that the companies that use them don't even like to disclose. You have to pump millions of gallons of that into the ground and then deal with what comes out afterwards. And a lot of it gets left there. And so the research said, given the state of technology, this is not something that is compatible with keeping our water unfiltered. And so we sent that to the state. And thankfully, the state came to the conclusion that for unfiltered water supplies like New York, whatever rules they come up with based on this environmental impact statement that they've done aren't going to apply, that you're going to have to do individual environmental assessments. And we think it's only a matter of time before the state comes to the conclusion that we've come to, which is this may be perfectly fine to do outside of an unfiltered watershed, but it's not okay to do in New York City's watershed. And just to provide some additional context, only 6% of the available Marcellus shale deposits in New York State are in the watershed. Mm-hmm. So that means 96% are outside of it, and we haven't studied that because we really kept it focused to the watershed. But that gives you some idea of, number one, not something that should be done in the watershed. And, you know, if the technology changes, we'll always be willing to look at it.
What does the future hold for the New York City Department of Environmental Protection? We will ask its commissioner, Cass Holloway, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.